So what are the four?
They are Mexico. India, I don't remember often Mexico India, and pilot and mainstream like that they have done. So there is Indonesia which has done pilot and now they are planning to do national. Not Benin. I can give you the data, but that is Mexico is one of course. I can come back later on.
Thank you very much. I really enjoyed that because I had an ulterior motive. Finding out about time use surveys was one of my major motivations in coming this week. Because Jamaica had done one in as far back as 1992, and there are a core group of us at the Planning Institute advocating for it to be institutionalized and for it to be done. Every year, the Planning Institute, alongside the Statistical Institute of Jamaica, conducts a survey of living conditions and the labor force survey. And the argument is that if we can find the funding, it can be done as a modular, in a modular fashion, attached to the labor force survey or attached to the household surveys that's done for the survey of living conditions. So my question to you is, what are the disadvantages and the advantages of doing it the modular way? Because the approach for the modular way is being pushed because both areas are already institutionalized. It would be easier to push it in that direction, and there might be more funding nationally. Whereas to push it as something that could be done separately and then try and institutionalize it, there's a greater challenge of where are we going to find the funding to do it in the other way. So I was wondering if you could point me to the advantages and disadvantages of doing it in the modular way.
First of all, thank you very much for such interesting presentation. I just want to comment and raise one problem that connects with time use study. As for me, I think that time use study is quite expensive process to conduct within the country. And that's why this research and this statistics is not used so wide over the world. So our aim and our goal, I mean, we who are feminist economists and who want to try to raise questions is to try to prove for policymakers how rational it would be to use time use statistics in order to rationally use national resources within the country. It's the main, how to say, question. And another, what is the same importance, what has the same importance is to raise question of gender discrimination. Because in many cases, especially in the countries which I'm originated from, I mean transitional countries, Eastern European countries, and even Western European countries, the gender discrimination is not so vivid. You see, because the legislation is okay, it is the same wages for the same work for women and men. Legislation is okay regarding gender and so on. And it is sometimes very difficult to prove gender discrimination. The only thing that can be proved, the gender discrimination, is statistics. But as you mentioned already, statistical data not always cover all aspects of our life. So in this regard, this time use study is the only mechanism, I can say, the only tool that can be proved gender discrimination within the society. That's my question. And I can add that I have provided research in Georgia, and its primary objective from the very beginning was not to discover any gender discrimination in the society. Of course, I knew that the gender discrimination would be discovered, but the aim from the very beginning of the research was not. And gender desegregation and the gender picture vividly was disposed within the survey. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your elaborate presentation. Actually, just like title, for me also, my major objective for this seminar was to learn more about time use surveys and studies. If I may share our experience in Uganda, time use study was conducted as part of a module within the household survey. But in terms of respondent, and to me, this is a very major weakness, and we have had really arguments on this, is that the statistical surveys, they basically target the head of the household. And obviously, the head of the household, in most situations, is a man. You know, like you are talking about something like 80% of your respondent being men, and them answering questions that should be answered by the woman. I find this as a very major problem, because in terms of validity of that information, this guy is talking on behalf of the other person. So if you ask him, he will not be able to account 100% for all the activities that was done by the other person. I mean, maybe he may say, yes, she went to the garden and maybe to what, but in terms of all this business of simultaneous work and all those that are intermittent activities, the woman being able to juggle between the man's garden and then her also trying to get time to get time to go to her garden, you know, those kind of things, that time may not be accounted for. Excuse me. And besides, it was a recall method of over a period of 7 days. Really, obvious, honestly, to be sincere, how do you expect me to remember 7 days? And I am answering and maybe implying that the other guy over 7 days, she did this and did that. You know, it was really very, very, it's very, very tricky. And we have had arguments, and the guys in statistics are my friends. So I can really engage them in serious discussions. And, you know, then in terms of dissemination of data, It is not widely, okay, in my country, it wasn't widely disseminated. I was lucky to receive copies of this kind of data simply because I am working on gender dimensions in the National Development Plan. So then someone said, oh, Sylvia, then I can send you some reports. It was not a systematic effort that, look, we have got this, and maybe this time use survey can help you when maybe you are thinking about public provisioning in terms of infrastructure, because our women spend a lot of time on collecting water, firewood, and all that kind of thing. So it was really just say, oh, okay, if you are working on that, you know, there is this. So you then find that in terms of appreciation of the data which you talked about, one can conclude really that this data, I mean, the reports are not taken very, very seriously. Besides the problems in the data collection, but in the sense that if they are not widely disseminated and people, and I liked in one of the slides where you said that the researchers and scholars, they have not explained really to a great extent to people who should be using this information on the use of this data. So I am really happy that the concerns that I had, back home, is that you have talked about them. Thank you.
Related to the administration of the server itself within the household, if you know that most of the women in the household are illiteracy, in terms of evaluating that the time that they take to do one task. This is the kind of difficulty I want you to focus a little bit.
Thank you, Indira. It was an excellent presentation. I really like it. And I would like to ask you a question, because in Guatemala, we have the issue that we need to do and we want to do an ethnic cross-cutting in the survey. So we are having a lot of problems in doing that, and we don't know how to collect the data cross-cutting at the same time. And we don't know really how to introduce it. And I just want to say you a little bit, I don't know if you know, Indira, that in Guatemala, you can do auto-identification about how indigenous group you are, but the problem is, the issue is a lot of people that is suffering this discrimination, but they don't identify themselves as indigenous or in a different group. So we are losing a lot of information in that. And just commend you, I don't know if it happened also in India, that one of the problems that we had in Guatemala is the people who were doing the surveys, that because the situation in Guatemala, there is a lot of scare and fear and a lot of things in with the presence of people. For example, I cannot go to the rural areas and ask sometimes questions because my presence, whatever, and sometimes if it's a man doing also the survey, so a lot of women will just bias the answers because of this fair thing and with other things, you know, in there.
Yeah, okay, let me respond to the questions about this. I think this issue of modular versus independent will be taking up later on, because we can discuss it in the next session, because you'll be talking about modular and let's discuss those. So those issues can be taken up later on. Another thing is about this, whatever we have been discussing here has two major things. One is that because of lack of funds, developing countries are compromising. For example, they select only one member from the family or two members of the family, and that has several disadvantages. You do not have adequate sample size. Sample size, when survey is very expensive, to have a good sample size is a very difficult thing. So in order to reduce sampling error, you should try to increase the size of the sample with least cost methods. And one method is that you take all the household members when you go there. That's what Jack Shams also has argued. Again, you will have a difference of opinion maybe. But the thing is that in order to reduce the cost, sometimes you use kind of methods which are not correct. 7 days recall, because you want 7 days estimates, because then you can compare with workforce data and so on and so forth. But that 7 days details can be done through another method, that you spread your sample systematically over different days, collect data for 24 hours, and then make estimates. You collect data for 2 days, weekly day and weekly variant day. And weekly days is circulated, in a different way for different people. Then you have a sample that can talk about weekly estimates of time use. That's the correct method of doing it, because that's more scientific method. But you ask stylized questions and ask them, so what did you do in the last 7 days? That may not give you a correct picture. So that is another. This is the compromise which has been made by different. And compromise could be also because they do not have maybe enough time, enough money, enough competence, whatever, and that's why they do this kind of thing. Now, another question is regarding this. Gender disparities. You are saying that when gender disparities are less, it's very difficult to justify time use survey. But what I would like to suggest is that gender disparity is just one use of time use. There are many other uses. Because I remember in I agree with you. Because I remember in one of the meetings where we had people from EU and others, they were all saying that it's very difficult to find funds for time use surveys because they're focusing mainly on gender. Because there are many other aspects. If you focus on other aspects also, then you can prove that it is more useful and then you can get better funds. But if you so talk only of gender, then at some stage it becomes very difficult. It is a powerful tool to measure. That itself is justification. But along with that, you can use other things also because it has much wider use. So in order to convince policymakers as a strategy, you can say that gender, of course, is a very important thing. But apart from that, there are many other uses, and that's why you can use it. And in that context, again, you know, establishing use of time use data is the best strategy. That you have to establish the time use data are useful in understanding the major concerns of the economies. If you can show that through your data analysis and can do it on a larger scale, that is the best way of convincing policymakers about the use of data. And that's the best way of ensuring better use of the data also. Anything else which I left out?
How many countries they asked time use survey data, time use survey to both husband and wife, like among developing countries? Because I talked to Mayela about the how cruel to ask just one member of the household, like for example, head of the household, and then. And even though the man is not working, man is not employed, then man just get the position of head of the household automatically. So, I think it's really biased in terms of that.
One way time you say that the response has to come from the person because he is the best judge as to how he spent his time. He can tell you in a better way than any other person. So that's why you have to ask a person, but this is not done as a compromise for I don't know what reasons, but that is a limitation of the method which results into wrong data. Again, in terms of age groups and others, you know, there are different age groups in different countries. For example, if you want to understand child labor, then you have to consider child's time use also. But in order to collect information on child's time use, you have to depend on somebody else for that. And that has to be arranged in a very systematic manner. To get response from women, you have to have a team of men and women both. Like in our survey, we had a team of one man, one woman going everywhere so that data collection was easier because women don't respond to men many times or men are not able to get correct information from women on many issues. So these are some of the survey methods which need to be corrected and designed in a very careful manner so that you get the right kind of response from them. And getting response also is another issue. You know, we may not get response very easily. If you go and ask them, how did you spend your time? They may not be willing to spend time for you, and that's why you have to convince them. Or you may pay. Korea, for example, South Korea has paid money for each household, $20 or something, when they conducted their first time use survey. So there are different ways of getting good response from people for collecting time use data.
Thank you very much for the presentation. My question, I was just wondering how often, in your opinion, do you think that the survey should be conducted? Because from some of the examples that you were given, I got the impression that there was perhaps a specific question in mind that prompted the survey, and once a question was answered, there was really probably no incentive to conduct other surveys. So how often do you think the survey should be conducted?
Okay, It was also a very inspiring presentation. I see a tremendous opportunity when, for example, people are conducting the household living standards surveys for the PRS. I see an opportunity to link it with the determinants of poverty, like you said about the time poverty and its impact in terms of formation of human capital. So I think that is something that we need to explore. And I don't feel it's just because people don't want to use it. Sometimes they are very sympathetic to using time use, but they just don't know how. I remember Cape Verde was very keen to be able to use it in the framework of their PRS, but they didn't have the skills to do it. Another country that they may have finished it, it's Djibouti. And it's a collaborative effort between the ECA, UNDP Djibouti, and Djibouti, the government of Djibouti. Thank you.
My question is related somewhat to what Taco just said. Have there been any best practice assessments done? Because it seems to me if we are to market, let's say, time use surveys to statistical agencies, it would be very important to do it in the most effective way possible. What work has been done on that, especially given the limitations that you are discussing, to try to create a methodology which is really the best, the state of the art, if you will. Thank you.
Hello. Depending on in which season or which month you are conducting the survey, so this gives a lot of variation in time use. So whether you are conducting the survey in the peak season or a slack season. So how this seasonal variation could be taken care of should be.
I heard many times people speaking about compromises, and Indira also always speaks about that. And I just want to raise the concern that often you learn by doing that we are using right now unemployment data that is nowhere near what it should be, but nonetheless we carry out analysis that when there are measures of GDP, we accept what we have, and when we teach about what is GDP and how do you include bads and goods and degradation of environment, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and then we go ahead and we use what we have, and it does serve a purpose. So in a way, I am a little bit wary when we talk about compromises in using vocabulary that stops us from continuing and proceeding and starting, actually. Because there will be second round. Secondly, I just wanted to say that the fact that time use is not thought of as a major tool, not only for macroeconomic analysis, but for other kinds of issues, is extremely important when it comes to purposeful sampling. I mean, you don't have to have always a sample of the entire country. If you're thinking of HIV/AIDS, for example, whether you're studying that issue in Africa or in Latin America or in Vietnam or wherever it is, you can have a much smaller sample which will allow you to ask the correct questions. The information that we have about paid, unpaid work, agricultural production and changes in the amount of time that children, girl children, etc., are spending in school and out of school and what have you, is really minuscule. It comes from one village with 10 people and another place with 25 people. It is really pitiful. And it would be so easy and so important, actually, to advocate, I think, for purposeful samples to answer specific questions. And that will create more demand, actually, for time use methodologies. Thank you.
It's a comment. First of all, thank you for your very clear presentation. In Peru, nowadays, we will be applied a first survey about use of time. We have some problems, mainly with conceptualization about the gender difference and mainly gender difference. In this sense, for example, question about question to the person who is head of family instead person who is responsibility of the works into the family or into the house. Other is about the sample because there are the we have a variety of cultures, groups and ethnic groups, and the solution that the Institute of Statistics of Peru said that is better to apply this questionnaire linked to the methodology of household survey and over 12 years. I think that give us problems because don't let us work better about disparities and gender difference.
Let me just respond quickly to the questions. You know, first of all, about most of the positive points are there that country experiences are showing that time use is very important and it has positive things, so I'm not commenting on that. But I would like to comment about two things. One is about the time sample side of it. You know that when time use is seasonal or it varies from different months or whatever, then you have to have a representative time use. And those countries which are conducting countrywide time use survey to understand the time use pattern of the population as such, they need to have representative time use. Like in India, we had four rounds, like NSSO rounds, and we had four rounds of survey. Many other countries have done the same, that they have seasonal time use surveys conducted in different seasons. Now, as far as frequency of time use is concerned, I think one has to talk in terms of, which I also talked in the beginning, that one has to talk in terms of different categories of time use. As far as all national time use surveys are concerned, many of the developed countries have 5 to 7 years periodicity. So after every 5 years, every 7 years, Australia, Canada, EU, and many other countries are conducting time use surveys like that. But for other kind of surveys, for modular surveys, the frequency could be more, because if you're having more labor force surveys or something, then you can, whenever you conduct labor force survey, maybe you can have, or maybe after every second or third labor force survey, whatever you decide. But as far as small surveys are concerned, and that's where Rania's point is, you know, as I said in the beginning, you were not there at that time, that we are doing a study on crisis, for example. We have a time use survey which is focused on that region only, that particular area, and that time use is trying to understand the impact of loss of employment in that particular region. So it has to be, it can be used as a tool to highlight the uses also. So time use surveys are of different at different levels, and you can use them for different purposes depending on your requirements. But overall, if you want to have a kind of a census of population, that kind of a time use, that stock taking or understanding time use of the population, that kind of study also is important, and that could be undertaken after 5 to 7 years or so, because that's a periodicity which is supposed to be there to people's behavior kind of changes, and you can monitor people's behavior over time. And about the best practices in developing countries, it's very difficult to say, because some countries have really done good job, but I haven't seen any country which is perfect so far. I mean, because there are many different kinds of problems are there in different countries. You know, for example, South Africa has done a very good job, but in their sampling, as Jack Shams has pointed out in his criticism that there are some limitations. They could have increased the time sample size, and they could have focused more on HIV AIDS, for example. So these are some of the things. In India, we tried our best to conduct a good time use survey, but then later on we realized, and that is our major requirement, that we have to have time use classification which is perfectly matching with workforce classification, which we did not have, which we would like to do. And in order to evaluate, we should have collected some more information in the background schedule, and we could have used some more context variable also. So this was a pilot survey. One learns a lesson, and from these, I think, gradually we develop practices. But I don't see from developing countries there is any survey. I haven't seen any, but I'm sure there must be some, which is a perfect kind of a survey, because every country is learning and every country is doing their first survey as such. I think that's all.